I didn't want to interrupt Joe, but I just got a really serious text about a prayer request, and it's regarding the main family, Joel and Liz. And Joel and Liz, my heart goes out to you guys because I have faced this kind of trauma 3 times in my life. In a couple days, Stella is turning 13 years old, so they're going to have a teenage girl in their house. So I feel your pain. We will be in prayer for you. But the fact is that Stella is a beautiful, wonderful treasure. Amen? Amen. And we are excited about her turning 13. The other thing that I neglected to mention was that we had the senior dinner last Sunday, and it was a real treat, just a blessed time. And I wanted to thank, there were many people that served in the background and in a lot of different ways. So a big thank you to all of you that served so very well. Amen. Amen. There is, if you are on Facebook recently, you may have saw this picture. And it's one that I hesitated to put on the screen, but it kind of has been haunting me. I look at it occasionally and think about the implications. And I think do we have that up there? Yeah. So there was a post attached to this, and I want to read it to you because it's indicative of what is going on in so many different ways. Through this picture, and this, they were drawing awareness to a book called Conversations with God. Oprah Winfrey is pushing it, promoting it, and here it goes. It says, "It is scary that someone would be so bold to write a book from God's point of view, but yet so contrary to his word. Schools are distributing this book to children through the Scholastic Book Club. James Dobson has been talking about this book frequently. It's in a negative way. It is devastating to parents, churches, Christian schools. All need to be made aware of it. Two particular books, Conversations with God and Conversations with God for Teens, written by Neil Walsh. They sound harmless enough by their titles alone. The books have been on the New York Times bestsellers list for a number of weeks. And they make truth to the statement that you can't judge a book by its cover. So the idea says the author purports to answer various questions asked by kids using the voice of God. However, the answers that he gives are not biblical based and go against the very infallible word of God. For instance, when a girl asks the question, why am I a lesbian? He answers that she was born that way because of genetics, just as you were born right-handed with brown eyes. And then he goes on to tell her and go and celebrate what God has done. Another girl poses the questions, I am living with my boyfriend. My parents say that I should marry him because I'm living in sin. Should I marry him? His reply is, who are you sinning against? Not me. Because you have done nothing wrong. Another question asked about God's forgiveness of sin. His reply is, I do not forgive anyone because there is nothing to forgive. There is no such thing as right or wrong. And that is what I've been trying to tell everyone. Do not judge people. People have chosen to judge one another. This is wrong because the rule is judge not lest ye be judged. These books are false doctrine of the devil, and they quote in error the word of God. These books and others like it are being sold to school children through the Scholastic Book Club, and we need to be aware of what is being fed to our children. Our children are under attack, and so I pray that you be sober and vigilant about teaching your children the word of God, guarding their exposure to worldly mediums, because our adversary, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. We know that lions generally hunt what? The slowest, the weakest, the youngest. And so there you have it. And there is the picture. And I think we just need to, every so often, raise this banner to encourage parents, because it's difficult. These are difficult times. To encourage them and challenge them to be ever vigilant against the enemy of the souls of their children. And of course, if you have been watching, there's just been a myriad of different books that are very graphic in our libraries and our schools that are sexualizing our children and confusing our children. And these have been promoted and made very accessible to our kids. If you are paying attention to the spiritual climate of our country, you know that in a sense, we are in uncharted waters, right? It seems as though Satan has taken off his mask and is bombarding our nation with unprecedented evil. And it seems our world at times is upside down. So this is not a time for Christians to groan only or to complain. This is a time for Christians to act. This is a time for all of us to be diligent and to be in guard for what's happening. Isaiah 50, verse 20 and 21 paints a picture of a generation, a perverse generation like ours. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There we go, right? That's kind of where we're at. Our nation, a lot of our school systems, a lot of our government systems and so forth are right there. One of the big battlefronts is regarding identity in a lot of different ways, not only sexual identity, gender, but identity in general, humanity and who made me and why am I here and all of that. And they're all kind of related in various ways. But I want to read you two passages. The first one is Galatians 4, and I'll read verses 6 and 7. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And so that is the identity of a child of God, a disciple of Christ that has been saved and sanctified by the blood and turned from their sins. Sons and daughters, and the Spirit of Yeshua crying, Abba, Father, within us, an heir of God now we are through Christ. So it's a beautiful picture of who we are. I love that passage. And kind of on the other side, the opposition, many passages we could read, but let me pick this one. It's Revelation 12, and we'll read verses 10 through 12. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. And the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time is short. The things that I want us just to think about out of that passage, two things, is this, that our enemy, the devil, he's an accuser of the brethren. He lies, he deceives, he twists, and he messes with our brains, our identity, so much about who we are in so many different ways. And much of it so subtle that we don't even catch it, but it's going on, and even so much more regarding our kids. And if indeed, we don't know, but if indeed we are drawing things to a culmination in time, near to the end or the beginning of the end, and he knows he has a short time. Can you imagine this roaring lion, how vicious, how diligent he is going to be, and in regards to our children as well. So identity, a huge thing, and I think as parents, I'm going to read some things about identity that for those of us that are in Christ. I think as a parent, you need to cling to these for yourself, because there are days, are there not, parents, that we think, oh, I am a miserable failure. You know, maybe God should have not given me these kids. I'm going to wreck them, you know. And we have days like that, right? And we need to hear who we are in Christ. But in addition to that, as I read these, so think of that as not only for yourself, but be thinking, how can I begin to, as a child is able to comprehend and understand, how can I be able to begin to paint a picture of the identity of Christ that they can have when they become his child, when they accept him as their Savior and Lord? And so these are just right out of Scripture. I am a child of God and I am one with Christ. John 1:12. I am an overcomer in this world. I am born of God. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a new creation. I am united in Christ. I am one spirit with him. I am a partaker of the heavenly calling. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I am chosen by God and chosen by God to produce fruit. I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I am an enemy of the devil. I am crucified with Christ, and sin no longer has dominion over me. I have the mind of Christ. I am healed by the stripes of Messiah, of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am God's temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells within me. My life is hidden in Christ. I am justified by faith, and I have peace with God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. I am redeemed and forgiven through the blood of Jesus. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And I have a sound mind because of Christ. I am complete in Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am established, anointed, and sealed in Christ. I have access to my Heavenly Father through Christ. I have access to the Father through faith in him. I have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory. And so what a wonderful picture of who we are in Christ. But all of us, no matter if we're parents or not, we all have days where you read that list and you say, I'm not feeling any of that today. I feel like a failure. I just want to lay in bed and pull the covers over my head, right? I'm not going out there. I'm done. I'm finished. But the reality is, that is who we are in Christ. And God help us to understand that and walk in that before our children, and help them to begin to understand all these things about identity as well. So as a parent, and some of these things I'll mention, they can be applied to in friendship and so forth as well. But particularly as a parent, this is Proverbs 19:11, says the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook transgression. I think one of the most beautiful gifts that we can give our children is consistency, and good consistency, holding our children accountable and not saying, you're going to get it, you're going to get it, if you do that again, if you do that again, if you do that again, if you do that again. That is meaningless. And we need to be a people of our word, and we need to be consistent with what we say and truthful about what we say. So we want to hold our children accountable and shape their heart and their character, but we don't want to, as this scripture says, we don't want to lash out in anger either. And there are instances where, you know, the child does something and, you know, you can just call it to their attention, you know. Jimmy, you know that wasn't right. I don't want to see that again, honey, okay? I love you, I forgive you, but let's not do that anymore. And you move on. We don't have to make everything a mountain, do we? That can be devastating. So there are times that we can extend the grace that we have been extended to by God through Christ to us. We extend it to them. This is Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Well, I know, given the attributes of Satan, that as a parent, he wants to overcome me with stress and fear and anxiety and feelings of failure. And so I need to keep my mind fixated upon Yah, the Lord. And in Yah, my Lord, I will trust in him, and I will rest in his perfect peace, and I will walk in his everlasting strength. And that is something I think for parents today and down through time is so critically important. The peace and the power, the strength of Yah. James 4, verse 7 and 8 says, therefore submit to God. We know this verse. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then the first part of verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so, as parents, we want to submit to God. We want to resist the devil, of course. And I want to draw near to God, because I know he'll draw near to me. And in all of that, I am hopefully gaining and being blessed by God's accountability, because I need my heart and my motives exposed and dealt with, right? I need to walk in his presence and his power and his spirit, because it is there that these glitches in my character, these places of pride and selfishness come out, and the Lord can deal with them, and I can repent of them, and he can refine me and form my character so that I can be a better example for my children. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed, right? And as I mentioned earlier, there are those days as parents when we feel like I'm just a terrible parent. I have doubts. I feel discouraged. At times I feel hopeless. And, you know, on those hard, tough days, I just need to realize that though that's life, and there are setbacks in spiritual battle and spiritual formation and transformation. And part of spiritual warfare is that by God's grace, I will be a better parent tomorrow. I will do. God help me to be a better parent tomorrow, and he will help you indeed. We read this earlier, 1 Peter 5, 8 and part of 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So as a parent, this resisting the devil is so important. Resisting his presence in your home. Resisting his presence in your schools, in your mind, in your heart, in so many different ways. Resisting and not falling into his traps and his lies and his deceptions, because he is ever diligent and ever ready to bring you down. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful. Amen. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Of course, we need to realize that and do that. But to begin to help our children do some of these things that we're talking about, I need to teach my kids to that they can call out to the Lord to get help. They can call out that they need established. They can call out to God that he would guard them and protect them. And that over time, I can develop this little girl, this little boy, into a spiritual warrior. And I would submit to you that in the days that we live, you ought to start very, very, very young in this endeavor. Not that you give them too much too soon, but that you start soon and begin to plant seeds and help these things become aware in their minds so God can do a work in them. Mark 9:29, so he said to them, this kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. And I, you know, prayer and fasting, fasting particularly, is something that a discipline, a part of our worship, our relationship with God that seems to be often lost, practiced very little among God's people, and that is a very sad situation for many, many reasons, but particularly because prayer and fasting together mark this is what we do when there's a serious, urgent situation, when our daughter's turning 13, you know, prayer and fasting, right? Those are the times that you cry out to God. So as we look about what's going on in the world and all this stuff, we ought to be a people, we ought to be parents that are involved in prayer and fasting for the souls of our children. This is maybe a tricky thing to try and put into words, but, you know, sometimes we might have a child that is struggling, and we might wonder, man, I just feel like, is there some kind of demonic influence, some type of oppression? Either they are very depressed, they're maybe suicidal, or they're rebellious. They're getting very physical with you as a parent or with others, and you're at your wit's end what to do. And oftentimes we can pray, Lord God, if there is any demonic influence in my home or over this child, I pray, God, that you would deal with the evil one and rid him from the mind and heart of my child and of my home, right? But I guess that really should be secondary, and I don't want to make light of praying something like that when there's a serious situation, but oftentimes we jump to that. The reality is that most of the time, when there's a severe situation with our children, there is some kind of door that has been opened. There is some type of sin. There is some maybe major trauma that they have experienced from somewhere, somehow. And we need to address that first. And what is, you know, what is the root? What opened the door that if indeed there is some demonic influence, how did that happen? What was the foothold that the devil was given? And trying to expose that and flush that out and deal with that, and then crying out to God to deal with the enemy. You know, making intimacy a priority is so important. And I'm talking about not only us as parents, but making it a priority with our kids. Because, you know, life is busy, isn't it? And we can come to the table, which is not always happening in a lot of homes. They're scattered around the home with a hamburger looking at their phones. Well, they should be gathered at the table. But our prayers at the table or our prayers at bedtime, let them not be tradition. Let them be a place of intimacy, and help us, God help us to, because our ultimate goal, of course, is to bring that child to a place where they can understand their need of Jesus Christ and they would accept him as Savior and Lord. But that comes from them beginning to have some intimacy with God. And so making sure that our prayer time is not, it's not ritual, it's not just tradition, but we're helping this child, and we have to practice this before them, you know. Because we can be transparent as parents. We can pray with intimacy before them, crying out to God. And I think they can begin to see that when I make a mistake or when I'm struggling or I need help, that all I need to do is to cry out to God. And so making intimacy a priority, certainly in yourself, but helping your children to begin that journey of a passionate intimacy that they can have between them and God. And that really, I think, has to be a creative, continual process that we're working on with them. There was a man that worked with children, and some of the kids that were struggling, they would say certain things, and he began to write these things down because he knew they were significant and that they were some of the reasons some of these kids struggled so greatly. And so I want to read to you just a couple of them. One child said, "I would just ask them to love me." And you're thinking, that child does not think that they are loved by their parents. How devastating that would be to a child. I'd ask my dad to read the Bible and pray with me. Sometimes I wish that I'd just get real sick and then they would hug me and pay attention to me. How sad is that? These are real statements from kids. I wish they'd listen to what I say. It might be important. My father doesn't talk to me at all. I'd like them to listen to me as if I were worth something. Wow. I wish that they'd explain things before they begin shouting and yelling. Another said, not to hit us, but to give us a second chance. Another said that they wouldn't argue so much. I wish my dad would quit drinking. My mom is mad all the time. I wish they'd stop fighting because I get very, 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 very hurt. I wish they'd get back together. Well, of course, our children need our love and our attention. But they need us to be strong, vibrant, intimate, passionate followers of Jesus. They need to see our relationship with Christ. Not just that we're talking about it, but that we're living it out in front of them. And they are experiencing the love of God that flows through us to them. And they don't need our passivity. They need our passion. There's a book you may have seen. It's called The Power of a Praying Parent. And here's just a quote from that book. The battle for our children's lives is waged on our knees. When we don't pray, it's like sitting on the sidelines watching our children in a war zone getting shot at from every angle. When we do pray, we're in the battle alongside them, appropriating God's power on their behalf. Whenever you pray for your child, do it as if you are interceding for her life, because that is exactly what you're doing. Remember that while God has a plan for your children's lives, Satan has a plan for their lives as well. We have an enemy who wishes to damage our children. He wants their hearts and their minds. We are in a battle for the lives of our children, and this battle must be waged on our knees in times of prayer. So, I haven't read the whole book, but I thought that quote from it was striking. What are the things that we could work at instilling into the heart and mind of our children that would help them cope with the onslaught, the attack, the deception of the enemy? And here's just some things to consider. And a hatred of sin, that they could understand that they can be protected from the enemy. God can do that. That they would have a respect for authority. That they would have healthy relationships. These are things we could pray for as well and help them with. That they, that they would be responsible and excellent spirit. That they would understand what it means to submit to God and walk in submission to Him. Praying for a godly spouse. Some of you, I remember Colleen and I used to pray for our girls that God would give them a godly spouse. I hope that you're praying for your sons and daughters in that regard as well. Praying for their sexual purity. Of course, today it's not only their sexual purity, but it's that they would understand their sexuality and their gender in the context of God's grand and beautiful design. Praying a hedge of protection around them. Praying for their wisdom and understanding. Praying that they would be strong in spirit. Praying that they would understand the blessings of and that they would keep God's commandments. That they would delight. That they would delight in keeping God's commandments. That they would honor the Lord. That they would be true worshipers of God. True worshipers of Jesus Christ. That they would begin to be able to receive knowledge from the Lord. Helping your child begin to have a devotional experience with the Word of God and beginning to understand how to hear from God through that Word and how God wants to apply that Word to their mind and their heart and their life. You know, as a child begins to practice that, what a gift you have given them. And here are some things that are based on Scripture, but these are some things that we could pray for. And we'll begin to wrap this up today. Father, may my children be as the sons of Issachar and have understanding of the times. Lord, may my children seek you and your strength. May they seek your face forever. Lord, I pray that my children would set their heart and soul to seek you. Lord God, may my children stand every morning and every evening to give thanks and praise to you. Lord, I pray that my children would delight in your law, that they would meditate upon it, pondering it day and night. Father, keep my children as the apple of your eye. Hide them under the shadow of your wings. Show my children your ways, O Lord. Teach them your paths. Lead them in your truth and teach them, for you are the God of their salvation. Lord God, give my children understanding to know that you are their hiding place, that you can and will preserve them from trouble and surround them with songs of deliverance. I pray, Father, that my children will delight themselves in you and that you would give them the desires of their heart. Create in my children a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within them. May my children trust in you with their heart and lean not unto their own understanding. I pray that they will acknowledge you in all their ways and that you would direct their paths. I pray that my children would hear instruction and be wise, that they would not disdain it. Lord, may my children have pity on the poor, for they have pity on the poor, for they that have pity on the poor lend to you. And you will pay back what they have given. Lord, Through wisdom, may my children build their house, and by understanding, may it be established. By knowledge, may the rooms be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Finally, O Lord, I pray that my children would understand that you are their salvation. May they trust in you and not be afraid. Be their strength and their song, O God. Become their salvation. And so parents, aunts and uncles, grandma, grandpa, we have a huge mission ahead of us as we look around and we see all these precious treasures that we delight in. They bless us so wonderfully. But we have been called and commissioned to guide them and shape them and usher them to the feet of Jesus and to protect them from the evil one. And so I challenge you to take that seriously. And maybe it's just praying for that little kid next door. There's so many different ways that we can do this, but this is critical. This is so important. This is urgent because the enemy is coming after the souls of all of our children. We see it every day, and it's growing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the children. Oh, Lord, they are precious. They are a delight. They make our lives so rich. They bring laughter into our hearts. Lord, they challenge us. They help us to grow. They bless us in so many different ways. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to you for bringing them into our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would take very serious this calling to protect them and guard them and help them grow and take them to a place that they would have an intimate, passionate relationship with you, that they would be drinking in your word and walking in your spirit. Go with us now today, Lord. Praise be to your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath. You're dismissed.